This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Our hour of old-time radio crime begins with Dragnet this week. We'll hear The Big Want, their story from March 1st, 1953. After that, it's Mr. and Mrs. North and House of Hate, their story from September 29th, 1953.
Sound off for Chesterfield. Chesterfield, first cigarette with premium quality throughout in both regular and king size, brings you Dragnet.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to Bunko Fugitive Detail. You get a call from another city to pick up a burglary suspect. You know the name he's using. You know where he's living. Your job, pick him up. When you're asked to try a cigarette, you want to know, and you ought to know, what that cigarette is meant to people who smoke it and who smoke it all the time. For almost a year now, a medical specialist has given a group of Chesterfield smokers thorough examinations every 2 months. He reports no adverse effects to their noses, their throats, or sinuses from smoking Chesterfields. More and more men and women all over the country are finding out every day that Chesterfield is best for them. Enjoy your smoking. Try Chesterfields today. You'll find Chesterfield much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Tuesday, June 4th. It was hot in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of Bunko Fugitive Detail. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Captain Steed. My name's Friday. We were on our way out from the office, and it was 9:42 a.m. when we got to the corner of Selma and Fountain. The Arizona Carlton Hotel.
Guess we check over there, huh?
Yeah. You got the mugs?
Yeah, right here.
I'm awfully sorry, Mrs. Hartfield. Yes, I know we say each room is air-conditioned. Well, yes, ma'am, but it is true. I know, ma'am, but the air conditioning is on full now. All right, ma'am. Yes, I'll send some right up. I'll be with you right away. Front, here, boy. Get some ice water up to Mrs. Hartfield in 502 right away. Now, sorry to keep you waiting.
It's all right, sir.
What is it you wanted?
We're police officers, sir. Here's our identification.
There's nothing wrong, is there? Don't know what I'd do if anything else went wrong. The air conditioning unit went out this morning, making excuses. I don't know how much longer the ice water's going to hold out. What is it? What's wrong now?
Do you have a Mr. George Richmond registered here?
Probably gives his home address as Modesto.
Richmond. Let's see here. Wait a minute.
Sir?
How do I know you're what you say? Police department's always sending out circulars saying to be careful about this sort of thing. It's a respectable hotel, you know. How do I know?
Well, here's our identification again, sir. I showed it to you before.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Friday. How about yours?
Yeah, here you are, sir.
Uh-huh. All right. Can't be too careful. Your own office says that, you know. Careful. Anybody can come in here with a badge.
Yes, sir. And if you'd just check the register for us, please.
Yeah, sure thing. Oh, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Here he is. Richmond George, Modesto, California.
Is he here now?
No, checked out day before yesterday. Oh, excuse me.
Yes, sir?
Registration desk. Yes, Mrs. Hartfield. Yes, ma'am, I know that's what we advertise. Well, yes, ma'am, but it's on the way up. No, ma'am, I sent the boy myself. Yes, ma'am. I'm sure he'll be there. All right, Mrs. Hartfield. Yes, ma'am. I may quit. Now, what was it you wanted with Mr. Richmond?
Well, you said that he moved out, huh?
Yes, bag and baggage day before yesterday.
Did you leave any forwarding address?
No, I talked to him when he left. Didn't say a word about where he was going.
Uh-huh. Was there anyone in the hotel he was especially friendly with? Anybody who might know where we can reach him?
No, he kind of kept to himself. Nice fella. Sure tipped good. Kept to himself, though.
Uh-huh. Is there anyone around the place who might know where he was going? Bellboys? Maybe the waitress in the coffee shop?
Anyone? No, I hardly think so. He didn't eat here. Don't blame him.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Here's our card. If you hear anything from Mr. Richmond, we'd sure appreciate a call.
You bet. I'll give you a ring.
Did you get any mail while he was staying here?
No, nothing. Not even a phone call. Didn't use the room for anything but to sleep. Real quiet. Good tipper, though.
Did he drive a car, do you know?
No, not that I know of. Say, come to think of it, you might check with Ernie.
Ernie?
Yeah, he drives a cab, usually right out in front. He picked up Mr. Richmond one night. He might be able to tell you something.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. If anything comes up, appreciate that call.
Okay. Hope you get what you're looking for. Registration desk. Yes, Mrs. Hartfield.
Let's go, Frank.
Right.
I know, ma'am, but the ice water's on the way up. I can't understand why it isn't there, but I am the manager. Mr.
Fellow out there might be him.
Yes?
Yeah.
Excuse me a minute.
Yeah?
Your name, Ernie?
That's right. What can I do for you?
Police officers. We'd like some information.
Well, I got a permit to park here.
No, it's not that. We'd like to know if you remember picking up a George Richmond here.
Oh. Richmond, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Richmond. No, name doesn't make any bells ring. What's the guy look like?
You got those mug shots, Frank.
Oh, yeah. Here you go.
You a cop, too?
Yes, sir. I'm an officer.
Yeah. You kind of look like one. Is this the guy?
Yes, sir, that's him. You remember picking him up?
Yeah, seems I've seen him before. Yeah, good tipper. Yeah, I picked him up, a couple days ago. Drove him downtown. Sure, downtown.
Remember where you took him?
Gee, it was a couple days ago, like I said.
Yes, sir.
I haven't got the slightest idea.
a.m. We continued to talk to the cab driver. He was sure that he'd picked up George Richmond on Sunday night, but he was unable to tell us where he'd taken the suspect. We drove back downtown and checked with the cab company. On the driver's waybill, we found that he'd made three pickups that night from the hotel on Fountain Avenue. The first stop listed was a large cafeteria in downtown Los Angeles. We checked with the cashier. She was unable to identify the mugshots of Richmond. The second stop was a large apartment out on Wilshire Boulevard. We checked the manager of the place, and she told us that she didn't recognize the name. We showed her the mugshots of Richmond, and she said that she thought she'd seen the man 2 weeks before. When she asked him what he wanted, he said that he was looking for a Miss Norman. Because of the way he'd acted, the landlady hadn't told him that there was a tenant by that name living in the place. She gave us the apartment number of the Norman woman, and Frank and I went up to see her. Want to try it again?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Police officers. Police officers, we'd like to talk to you.
Just a minute. And what's this all about?
Miss Margaret Norman.
Yeah, that's right. What do you want with me?
What if we could come in, please? Be a little better than talking out here in the hall.
Yeah, I guess so. Come in.
Thank you. My name's Friday. This is my partner, Frank Smith.
Pleased to meet you, ma'am.
Yeah. Hi.
You alone here, Miss Norman?
Yeah, I just got up. Have to excuse the way the place looks. Kind of messy.
Yes, ma'am.
Mind if I put on some coffee? I'm not going to be able to answer any questions before I have a cup of coffee.
Well, you go right ahead, ma'am.
What is it you want to see me about?
You know a man named Richmond?
Richmond?
Yes, ma'am. George Richmond.
Why'd you ask that? What's he done?
Well, just like to know if you know him, do you?
Yeah, I know him. What do you guys want him for?
We'd like to talk to him, Miss Norman.
Uh-huh. Don't want to tell me what it's about, huh?
Well, it'll be better if we talk to him.
Yeah. Either one of you got a cigarette?
Yes, ma'am. Here you go.
Match?
Thanks. You know, there's no love lost between me and George.
Is that right?
You bet there isn't, lousy bum. Regular drugstore cowboy. Takes a girl out for dinner one lousy night and a cheap dinner. Figures he owns her.
You know where he is now?
No, I haven't got the slightest idea. If I did know, I'd sure tell you. Bet I would. I'd like to see him get his way he treated me.
You know any of his friends? Anyone who might know where he is?
I don't think he's got a friend. At least I never met any of them.
Does he drive a car, do you know?
No, not him. Always took a cab. Used to kill me. Anywhere we went, he'd take a cab. One lousy block and he took a cab. Like to be a sport. Always tipping big. Regular drugstore cowboy.
Mm-hmm. When did you see him last?
It must have been a couple of weeks ago. That much, anyway. Last time I saw him. Don't care if I never see him again where he acted. I thought he was going to kill me.
Ma'am?
Went out to dinner and we got back here. He'd been drinking a lot. Got real nasty. I told him he better be going. You know, it was late and all.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, like I said, it was late and he got real nasty. Started yelling at me. Called me all sorts of things. Now, I'm not going to let any man say things like that to me, so I told him to get out. I never want to see him again. One lousy dinner and he thought he owned me.
Mm-hmm. Will you go ahead, Mr. Arm?
He hauled off and hit me. Right there in the hall. Hit me as hard as he could. Almost broke my jaw. Well, you know, I let out a scream and he beat it. Caused such a commotion, I had to move.
Then this didn't happen here, is it?
No, a place over on Vermont. I moved the next day.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you meet Richmond?
At the club. Say, you got another cigarette?
Yeah. Here you are.
Match?
Thanks.
What club's that, ma'am?
Where I work. Green Lantern, downtown. I'm the cigarette girl. I met him there. He came in one night. Acted real big. Asked me if I'd have dinner with him. As it happened, I didn't have an engagement that night, so I said yes. Well, we kind of went together for a while.
I see.
Sure hope you get him. Real bad guy. The way he treats women. Terrible. He say, wait a minute.
Yes, ma'am.
I know someone who might be able to tell you where he is.
Who's that, ma'am?
A fellow named Hank. Used to hang around the club. I saw George talk to him at the bar once in a while.
Well, do you know where we can find this fella, Hank?
No, but I can tell you where his girlfriend lives. That help?
Yes, ma'am, it will.
Place over on 3rd out near Fairfax.
Do you know his full name, ma'am?
Gee, I gotta think about that. Let's see. Jeanette, that's the girl. Jeanette introduced him as Palmer. That's it, Hank Palmer. I don't know about him, though.
What's that, Miss Norman?
He's a real mean one. Kind of quiet, not like George. George likes to shoot his mouth off, but Hank is quiet. He's trouble, though.
Ma'am?
Well, one night we went up to Jeanette's for a couple of drinks. Hank took off his coat. That's why I say he's rough.
Yeah?
Sure. Carries a gun.
p.m. We got the description of Hank Palmer, and then Frank and I drove back to the city hall. We ran the name and description through R&I, but we got no make. We sent the name to George Brereton, CII, up at Sacramento. We got a communication off to Washington asking them for information on Palmer. We also checked the name of Palmer's girlfriend through our records, but we got no information. We contacted Captain Steed and arranged for a stakeout to be placed in the apartment of Palmer's girlfriend, Jeanette Allen. 2 days went by. Palmer and Richmond failed to make an appearance. We talked to Jeanette Allen, but she couldn't supply us with any information as to the whereabouts of the two men. Descriptions of the men were broadcast. Informants were questioned. We contacted the Modesto Police Department, and they sent us all information on the places Richmond was known to frequent while he was in Los Angeles. The kickback from Sacramento and Washington gave us no new information on Richmond, but Washington had him listed as having 2 arrests for armed robbery and ADW in the East. Another week passed. The stakeouts on Jeanette Allen's apartment continued. No sign of either of the men. Sergeant Al Panoges of the Bunko Fugitive Detail worked with us in trying to trace their movements. On Saturday, June 15th, we got word from an informant that Richmond and Palmer had been seen in town. We checked with a stakeout at the apartment, but they'd seen nothing of the two men. Frank, Al Panoges, and I drove out to relieve the stakeout.
Hey, Panoge.
Yeah, Frank.
Sure hot in this room, isn't it? Air just laying there.
Yeah. Paper says it's the hottest June 15th on record.
Is that Miss Allen?
Yes, Sergeant.
Now, you haven't heard from Palmer at all since he got back, is that it?
No, not a word. I don't really believe he's in town. I'm sure if he was, he'd look me up. Never done this before.
Uh-huh.
Say, would it be all right if I got a glass of water, miss?
Sure, help yourself right out in the kitchen.
Thanks. How about you, Joe, want some?
No, no, thanks.
Al?
Yeah.
Joe?
Yeah?
Cab's stopping out in front. Man getting out. Might be one of them. Guy's wearing an overcoat.
On a day like this?
You coming in here, Al?
Yeah. Yeah, cab's pulling away.
Okay. I'm going to take that side of the door, Frank.
Right.
You better go into the bedroom, Miss Allen.
You think there's going to be some trouble?
Well, it depends on the way he wants it.
Oh, well, I guess you know best. I hope not. All I need is to have to move again.
Somebody in the hall. He's stopping. All set?
Right.
Who are you?
You Hank Palmer?
Yeah, so what?
Police officers.
Lousy cop! Watch this, Joe. He's got a gun. I'll get him. All right, hold it up, Palmer. Stop or I'll fire. Get away from me, cop! Hold it up, Palmer.
All right, mister. Come on, pull out of here. Come on, go!
Get in a call, Frank. Gray Mercury. License number is 1S69105.
Right. Better call an ambulance, too.
What?
Panoges. He's hurt bad.
June 15th, 8:40 p.m. Sergeant Al Panoges was removed to Georgia Street Receiving Hospital. His condition was listed as critical. The bullet had entered his chest and was still embedded below the left lung. His family was notified, and after Frank and I got out the APB on Palmer, we drove by to pick up Mrs. Panoges. We dropped her off at the hospital, and Frank stayed with her. Palmer's description was put out, as was the description of the car he'd commandeered to get away. I ran the number through RDMV and found that it was registered to a William Evans, 1627 East Poinsettia, Hollywood. Along with Sergeant Ullery, I checked out the address. Mrs. Evans told us that she hadn't seen her husband for several hours, that when he left the house, he had told her that he was going to a lodge meeting. We got a description of him and got out a local and an APB on him. I called the hospital and found that they'd operated on Panoges, but that they were unable to remove the bullet. His wife collapsed. Frank had her taken home where she was cared for by their family doctor. 12:46 a.m. A radio car out in Chatsworth picked up Evans. He told him that Palmer had forced him at gunpoint to drive him to the valley. There he'd forced Evans from the car and driven off. Evans couldn't give the officers any idea of where the suspect might have been headed. 2 hours later, the car was found abandoned on Spring Street. It was placed under surveillance and a dragnet of the downtown area was started. Metro Division assigned 20 teams of men to make a block-by-block search of the vicinity. The details at the bus stations and at the airports were alerted. 4:12 a.m., I got a call from Frank and I drove over to Georgia Street Receiving Hospital.
Hi, how's it going?
Not good, just saw the doctor.
Well, how's Al?
He just died.
You are listening to Dragnet, the authentic story of your police force in action.
Chesterfield is the first cigarette to offer smokers premium quality in both regular and king size. King size Chesterfield contains tobaccos of better quality and higher price than any other king size cigarette. Chesterfield is first to name all its ingredients, ingredients that make the best possible smoke. And Chesterfield gives you this scientific report. No adverse effects to the nose and throat of a group smoking only Chesterfields. So enjoy your smoking. Change to Chesterfield today. Much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste.
When an officer is first accepted by the police force, he spends 13 weeks at the police academy. In that period, he learns the basic fundamentals of being a peace officer. On graduation from the academy, he is assigned either to traffic or to a tour of duty in one of the city jails. Then, depending on his aptitude and the way he conducts himself in the field, he's checked on for possible transfer to one of the detective divisions as an investigator. By the time a police officer gets his assignment to the detective bureau, he's become a professional troubleshooter. He knows how to handle himself and he knows how to treat the lawbreaker. He's on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he wears a gun. When a hoodlum shoots a police officer, he's showing society that he has no regard for the law, and at the same time, he is announcing that he will not hesitate to kill an unarmed citizen. Sergeant Alfred Panoges had been a policeman 14 years. He'd begun in traffic and then had been transferred to the juvenile division. From there, he went to homicide detail and then to Bunco Fugitive Division. He was a professional peace officer, and he'd been murdered. He gave his life to protect the people who paid his salary, the taxpayers. His killer was still at large, and we had to find him. The search of the downtown area was intensified, but it netted us nothing. Frank and I checked the immediate area around the abandoned car. In talking to the people in the vicinity, we found a newsboy who had seen Palmer park the car. He said he was unable to tell us where the man had gone, but he said that he thought he might have gone into a bar near the corner. We checked the place, but the bartender was unable to give us any information. 2 days passed. We rechecked the known hangouts of the two men. Neither of them had been seen. Tuesday, June 18th, we got word that Palmer had been seen entering an apartment house on South Alvarado. 10:14 a.m. Frank and I drove over to talk to the landlady.
Palmer and Richmond. No, I don't think I know them.
Why don't you take a look at these pictures, Mrs. Holbrook, see if you recognize them?
Sure.
There you are.
He's a mean one. I haven't seen him, though. This one.
Ma'am?
This one. I know him. Which one's he?
Well, that's Richmond.
No, that's not his name. Told me it was Reichman. Said it was John Reichman. Lives up in 206 Ats in front.
Is he in now, ma'am?
No, he went out this morning early. First time in a couple of days he went out early.
You expect him back soon?
Oh, I don't know right off. Might be. I don't generally know when they're coming back. Don't keep tabs on them, you know.
Them?
Yeah, tenants. A nice bunch, most of them quiet. Had a full place last 2 years.
Uh-huh. How long is this, Reichman?
Yeah, that's it, John Reichman.
How long has he been here?
Oh, he's kind of new. He took over the room from a friend of his.
Yes, ma'am. Does he have any friends in the building? Anyone that he sees quite a bit of?
Well, now, there's a girl in 306. He sees quite a bit of her.
Well, who's that, Miss Holbrook?
That'd be Barbara McIntyre. Nice girl. Dancer. Works downtown at one of the clubs.
She in now, would you know?
Oh, she should be, yes. Hardly ever gets up much before noon. Hardly ever. She works late, you know.
Yes, ma'am. Does Richmond drive a car?
Richmond? Oh, dear, now. Well, I don't know. I don't think so. Seems like he's always coming home in a cab. Comes in at all hours. I don't think he's going to last here.
Why say that, ma'am?
Because I don't think he will, that's all. Plays the radio late, makes noise, you know. Then there was a fight. The girl didn't want to do anything about it, but I certainly think she should have.
Well, what's that about, ma'am?
Oh, one night, let's see, it must have been about a week ago. Reichman or Richmond or whatever his name is came home and he was... Well, he'd been drinking quite a bit, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, he went up to the girl's apartment and they had an awful brawl. Screaming and yelling an awful brawl. I went up and asked her if there was something I could do, but she yelled through the door and said no, that everything was all right. Of course, it wasn't.
Ma'am?
Well, the next day, the poor thing had a black eye that just wouldn't stop, all bruised up. Had a bandage right here on her forehead. Must have hit her awful hard. No, sir, I don't think he's going to last.
Mm-hmm. And you're pretty sure that you haven't seen this other man, though, are you?
Well, let me see that picture again.
Mm-hmm. This one?
No, I'm positive. I never saw him. Of course, that don't mean he wasn't here.
Ma'am?
Well, like I said, I don't pay much attention to them. They pay their rent, and I don't bother them. They come and go as they please. Say, what do you want them for? Is it about that, Mr.?
Richmond?
Yeah, is it about him beating up that poor girl?
No, ma'am.
I should have known about him. No, sir, he ain't going to last long around here.
I wonder if we could see his room, Mrs. Holbrook.
Well, I guess it's all right. I'll get the key.
All right, ma'am, thank you.
Here you are. It's right up the stairs and then to the front of the hall. It's on the right at the far end of the hall.
Well, we'd rather you'd come up with us, ma'am.
Oh, well, all right. Glad to help. The way he must have beat that girl, a fiend, that's what he is. Sure isn't going to last long around here.
No, ma'am, he sure isn't. Before we looked at Richmond's apartment, we tried to check with his girlfriend. We found that she wasn't in. The manager let us into her apartment, but we found no indication where she might have gone. Then we went downstairs and searched Richmond's place. He wasn't there. The landlady stood by when we searched the place. In a closet, we found a small arsenal. A gas grenade, a sawed-off shotgun, and two boxes of shells. There were also several revolvers, along with over 150 rounds of ammunition. We called the office and arranged for a stakeout on the building. Sergeants Ullery, Gerard, Gilmore, and Miller came out. Gerard and Gilmore covered the front entrance. Ullery and Miller were stationed at the back of the building, and Frank and I covered Richmond's room. The residents of the apartment were warned to stay inside their rooms and to keep their doors locked. 10:30 p.m. There was still no sign of the suspects. We waited. 11 o'clock. 11:15. Midnight.
Joe?
Yeah?
Looks like it might be them. Cab pulling up in front.
How about Gerard and Gilmore?
No, can't see them from here. Yeah. Looks like Palmer and Richmond. They got the girl with them.
Where is she?
She's walking between them. Makes it tough, huh?
Yeah. Well, they won't try to take them on the street this way.
They're coming in the building.
Uh-huh.
They should be here pretty quick.
Yeah, figures if they're coming here.
Upstairs. Girl's apartment, huh?
Sounds like it. Wonder if they went in with her.
We'll just have to wait.
Wait a minute. Somebody outside there in the hall.
Yeah.
Hold it.
I don't feel right, I tell you. It's too quiet. Something's up.
All right, mister, let's hold it.
Cops, yours, beat it! All right, give it up, Palmer. Well, they made the street. Joe Moore and Gerard should get him. Look at that car, Joe. Let's go.
Looks like they're in that store.
You want to cover me while I try to get over there?
All right, take it easy.
Right. You all right, Frank?
Right.
All right, I'm coming over.
I'll cover you.
You see Gilmore and Gerard?
Yeah, they're behind the Buick over there. Come on out of there. Richmond, Palmer, come on. Throw the guns out.
You come in and take us, cop.
Give it up, Richmond. You're at a dead end. There's no way out of there.
And we'll make one.
They're coming out, Joe.
Okay, I quit. You got Richmond, I quit. Now don't shoot anymore. Please don't shoot anymore. You won't shoot anymore, will you please?
Throw that gun out here. Come on.
All right. Here it is. I'm throwing it out. Now don't shoot anymore, please.
Got it.
All right, I'll check Richmond.
Right. I haven't got any gun. I gave it to you. I'm hurt. Can't you see that? I'm hurt bad.
I told Gilmore to call the ambulance. Richmond's dead. How about this one?
Well, he's hit. I don't know how bad.
I should have known not to kill a cop. I would have been like this if I didn't kill that cop. I didn't mean to. I got scared. That's all, scared. You can understand that, can't you?
Yeah, you want to shake him, Frank?
Yeah. Watch it, Frank. He's got another gun.
You all right?
Yeah.
Palmer? Palmer?
I'll check him.
What about it?
He's dead.
Look here, John.
What's that?
Had these in his pockets.
Must be 50 or 60 rounds of ammunition there.
Yeah. Doesn't look like he was ready to quit.
He was ready.
The story you have just heard was true. The names were changed to protect the innocent. On July 26th, an inquest was held in the coroner's office in and for the county of Los Angeles. In a moment, the results of that inquest. Now, here is our star, Jack Webb.
Thank you, George Fenneman. Friends, every day, more and more people are changing to Chesterfield and finding Chesterfield is best for them. One reason for this is premium quality. Chesterfield is first to give you premium quality in both regular and king size. Another reason, Chesterfield gives you this scientific report. No adverse effects to the nose and throat of a group smoking only Chesterfield. I smoke an average of 2 packs a day, and I'm convinced Chesterfield is best for me. Try them, regular or king size. I think you'll find Chesterfield is best for you.
At the coroner's inquest, it was found that the deaths of George Thomas Richmond and Henry Donald Palmer were justifiable homicide. It was found that they were armed and were killed while resisting arrest. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department. Technical advisors, Captain Jack Donahoe, Sergeant Marty Wynn, Sergeant Vance Brasher. Heard tonight were Ben Alexander, Joyce McCluskey, Paul Richards. Script by John Robinson. Music by Walter Schumann. Hal Gibney speaking. For a million laughs, tune in Chesterfield's Martin and Lewis Show Tuesday on this same NBC station. And sound off for Chesterfield's, either regular or king size. You'll find premium quality Chesterfield much milder. Chesterfield is best for you. Chesterfield has brought you Dragnet, transcribed from Los Angeles. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever and whenever people need help, the Red Cross answers the call. When a flood-stricken family needs shelter, when a crippled child must learn to walk and play, and when a wounded soldier needs blood, the Red Cross is always there. Now, the Red Cross needs your help. To keep up their many services this year, $93 million is needed. So when the Red Cross volunteer calls on you, please answer the call and give generously.
Jerry.
That came from inside.
Try the door.
It's locked.
Oh, darling, we've got to get in there somehow.
Mr. and Mrs. North, starring Richard Denning and Barbara Britton. Listen as Pam and Jerry solve the mystery, House of Hate.
The house near Dublin Square in Washington Heights is a gingerbread monument to a day gone by, a day of gaslight and hansom cabs, to a day when a dollar was a dollar and the Lansing family had its share of them. From that era, only Sarah Lansing survives to rule the gingerbread house from the big front bedroom where she has lain for 16 years.
Yes?
Robert, Mother.
Oh, come in, darling. Off to work, dear?
Yes, Mother.
So early?
Well, I have a big day ahead of me.
Oh, you work so hard, Robert, dear. So terribly hard.
Oh, nonsense, Mother.
Well, you do. Oh, but didn't I warn you to be like this when you had a wife to support?
Let me give you a kiss now, and then I have to run.
All right, darling. And have a nice day.
Oh. Mother.
Oh, my back.
If it's still bothering you, I'd better call Dr. Stone.
No, I've already called him, dear. He's coming today at 1. There's little he can do when Ella refuses to fix my pillows the way I... Oh, but there, I mustn't blame Ella when she has so much to do.
Nothing is more important than taking care of you properly. Oh, by the way, Mother, one thing. I had a letter from Sylvia. She'd like to spend a weekend here at home soon.
But, Robert...
She says that Miss Phillips, her house mother, thinks it would be good for her to come home oftener.
Sylvia's my daughter, Robert. I think I know more about what's best for her than this Miss Phillips.
Yes, of course, Mother. You're right. I'll drop her a line today. Now, goodbye, Mother.
Goodbye, dear.
See you this evening, huh?
Oh, Robert... Will you take my breakfast tray on your way, dear?
Oh, of course. Oh, Mother, you didn't eat a thing.
Ella fixed me eggs. I can't imagine why. She knows I dislike them. Oh, well, she must simply have forgotten.
After 3 years, that's hardly likely.
Oh, Robert, dear, don't say anything.
Why Ella does things like this, I'll never...
Is something wrong, Robert?
Oh. Ella, I thought you were down in the kitchen. Ella, why did you do this?
What?
This. Serve Mother eggs.
Oh, I serve them because she asked for them.
Nonsense. You know that she hates them.
Are you calling me a liar, Robert?
All I'm saying is that if Mother had asked for eggs, she would have eaten them.
All right, Robert. Have it your way.
What do you mean, my way?
Please, Robert, let's not argue. Just... Give me the tray and let me fix your mother something else. I have a lot to do before I go downtown.
Downtown?
I'm having lunch with Pam North.
At what time?
I'm meeting at the Corsair room at 1.
At 1? But you can't.
Why not?
Because Dr. Stone is coming to see Mother at 1.
Today?
Yes. Mother called him and...
When?
What?
When did she call him?
I don't know.
Well, then I'll tell you. She called him after I told her I was meeting Pam.
Now, why would she do
it? To keep me here when she knew I wanted to go out. You, if Dr. Stone was calling, you'd insist I stay home.
Are you suggesting that Mother...
I am not suggesting. I'm telling you. She did this deliberately.
Ella!
Oh, Robert, how can you be so blind? Can't you see what she's trying to do? What she's been trying to do ever since you brought me into this house? First thing she did was convince you I should take care of this mausoleum all by myself. Cook and scrub and be her nurse at the same time.
It was a question of money. We can't afford...
Who says we can't afford it? She does.
It's her house. It's her money.
And her son. You, her darling, doting little boy. She won't be happy until she has you all to herself again.
You're out of your mind.
For 3 years, she's lain in there thinking of ways to make my life miserable. Hoping someday I won't be able to take it anymore and slam out of this house and out of your life. This appointment with the doctor is part of it. These stupid eggs are part of it. Well, let me tell you something. I'm not about to slam out of this house. I'm not going to take this much longer, but she's not going to drive me out. She's not.
Oh, now what the devil happened to them? They were here in the closet the other day. Pam?
Yes?
Where are my golf shoes?
What did you say, Jerry?
My golf shoes. They're not in the closet.
But I saw them.
and they're just... Oh, no, wait. Oh, I'm sorry, darling. I know where they are.
Oh, where?
In the kitchen.
The kitchen?
I brought them out here to polish them for you.
Oh, Pam, darling, you didn't have to do that.
I didn't.
Oh.
I discovered we didn't have any brown shoe polish, and I was going to put them back in your closet, but I couldn't find the nutcracker.
The nutcracker?
Your shoes are in the cupboard under the sink, Jerry.
Thanks, but what have my golf shoes got to do with the fact that you couldn't find the nutcracker?
I used your shoes to crack the walnuts for the Waldorf salad last night.
Oh.
Oh, golly, look at the time. Oh, I have to hurry.
Are you going up?
I'm having lunch with Ella Lansing.
Ella Lansing, huh?
I told her she telephoned the other day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. Where'd you say they were?
The Lansings? Oh, why, they're right on... In the...
My golf shoes.
I'll answer it, dear. In the cupboard under the sink.
The Lansings?
Your golf shoes. Hello?
Hello, Pam. This is Ella.
Oh, Ella.
Pam, I hate to do this, but I have to cancel our lunch date.
Oh, Ella, why?
Well, I just found out that the doctor's coming to see Robert's mother, so I'll have to be here.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was looking forward to seeing you.
I wanted to talk to you.
Ella.
Pam, I have to see you. I simply must talk to someone, or I don't know what I'll do.
Well, what is it, Ella?
Could you possibly come out of here, Pam?
Well, of course.
Oh, wonderful.
Will 2 o'clock be all right?
Anytime.
I'll see you at 2, then.
Thanks, Pam.
Pam? Hey, Pam, dear, I... Pam, darling, what's the matter?
What?
Was something wrong?
I'm not sure.
Who was that on the phone?
Ella Lansing. She can't meet me for lunch, but she wants me to come to her place. She said she had to see me.
Oh, well, what's the matter with her?
I don't know. But I do know this. Jeb Moffat's back in town.
Jeb Moffat?
Ella went with him for years. They were engaged, and then something happened. No one ever knew just what, and she married Bob Lansing.
Oh.
Jeb Moffat's a colonel in the Air Force. He was in Korea and just got back. I read it in the paper. You can drop me off at Ella's on your way to your golf date.
I'm not sure I can keep my golf date, dear.
Why?
No shoes.
Well, didn't you find them in the cupboard under the sink?
All I found in the cupboard under the sink was the brown shoe polish.
The brown shoe polish?
And this.
Well... Well, what do you know? The nutcracker.
Hello?
Colonel Moffat reporting, ma'am.
Jeff!
Well, the lady remembers.
You're back.
Don't tell me you didn't know.
No.
Well, it was in the papers. I'm a hero. If you don't believe it, ask the New York Times.
Oh, Jeff, it's wonderful to hear from you.
If that's a proposal, I accept. We'll run away to Afghanistan and raise sheep. I got a 2-week furlough. Hey, speaking of sheep, how's your husband?
Robert's fine.
Oh, too bad. Look, when are you going to divorce him and marry me?
Oh, Jeff, stop joking.
Joking? Ellie, darling, I was never more serious in my... What was that?
What?
Sounded like someone else on the line.
Oh.
Don't tell me your husband's had your phone tapped. I heard a woman who did that to his wife once. And
Jeb, I'd better call you back.
What? Wait.
Where are you staying?
The Algonquin.
I'll call you. Oh, Ella, dear. Why, Ella, is something the matter?
So now you've started listening to my phone calls.
Listening to your phone calls? I don't understand.
You're a liar.
Ella.
You were listening on the extension.
How dare you speak to me this way?
I'm warning you. I've stood just about all of this I can stand.
Get out of this room.
You don't leave me alone. I'll kill you.
Get out. Get out.
I mean it. I'll kill you.
Well, here we are, darling.
Oh, golly, Jerry. It's such a gorgeous day. I wish I were going out to the club with you.
I wish you were, too.
Just look at that old house. Did you ever see anything so gloomy?
Not outside of a cemetery.
Well, come on.
Come on. Hey, what do you mean? I'm going to play golf, remember?
But, Jerry, you have to stop in for a minute.
Why?
To say hello.
But, Pam, I'll be late.
Well, you certainly won't be any earlier if you sit and argue.
Well, all right. I'm just going to say hello, how are you, goodbye.
That's all you have to do.
I don't want to be dragged upstairs to pay my respects to old Mrs. Lansing.
You won't be.
All she ever talks about is Robert. Robert this, Robert that. You'd think she was the only woman in the world who ever had a son.
Well, no. And never a word about Sylvia.
Sylvia? Oh, yes, her daughter.
Mm-hmm. Ring the bell, Jerry.
Got it. Hey, where do they keep her? Locked up in the attic?
Well, practically. In a boarding school. Apparently she has some psychological problem. Jerry!
What?
That came from inside.
Yeah.
Try the door.
Locked.
We've got to get in there, Jerry. Ella! Ella!
Someone's coming.
Ella! Pam! Jerry, come quickly.
Ella, what happened? We heard a scream.
It was Robert's mother. She must have been trying to get downstairs. She fell. There.
Oh, Jerry.
I'll call the doctor.
Wait a minute, Ella. A doctor can't help. She's dead.
And it is therefore the finding of this inquest that the death of Sarah Lansing resulted from a fall which was wholly and entirely accidental.
Ella?
Come in here.
Were you asleep?
No, dear. I was just resting.
Robert just got home, Ella.
Oh?
You are going to talk to him, aren't you?
Of course, Sylvia. I promised, didn't I?
And you will make him understand.
I'll do my best, dear.
Ella?
You go to your room and wait there, Sylvia.
All right.
Ella?
I'm in here, Robert.
Where's Sylvia?
In her room.
She packed.
Not yet.
Why not? A train leaves in an hour.
Yes, but she's hoping that she won't be taking it.
What?
Robert, let her stay.
Stay here? Permanently?
Yes.
That's impossible.
Why?
She's in school.
Oh, well, she could go to school here.
No, Ella. I made it perfectly clear to Sylvia that she was merely coming home from Mother's funeral, not to expect...
Robert, please.
Sylvia is going back to school. She needs the special attention she gets there.
She doesn't need special attention there or anywhere else. All she needs, all she's ever needed from the moment she was born, is a little love and affection. A little of the love your mother stole from her to give to you.
That's enough.
Oh, Robert, please. Sylvia wants a home. She needs a home.
She's going back to Fallbrook. That's what Mother would have wanted. That's what she's going to do.
In the name of heaven, Robert, is your mother going to go on running our lives, even from her grave? Your mother's dead. 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 Dead.
Because you killed her.
What?
Oh, you didn't think I knew, did you?
You what?
Mother didn't fall down those stairs. You pushed her.
That's a lie. Robert, you can't believe that.
But I do believe it.
Well, then why didn't you go to the police? Why didn't you say something at the inquest?
I'll tell you why. Because I want to keep you here, right here in this house. You hate this house, Ella. You hate it as much as you hated my mother.
She hated me.
You're going to want to run away. Don't you want to get away from this house so badly it'll drive you out of your mind thinking about it?
You're insane.
But you'll never be able to leave, because the only place you can go from here is straight to the electric chair. Now go tell Sylvia to get packed. I'll be waiting downstairs to take it to the station. Oh, one thing more. We're getting a dinner party.
A dinner party?
Tomorrow evening. Inviting Pam and Jerry North. And Jeb Moffat.
Robert.
Oh. Ella.
Oh. Sylvia, darling, I'm sorry, but Robert...
I know. I heard.
Everything?
Yes.
Sylvia, it's not true about your mother. I didn't kill her.
I believe you. I wouldn't care if it was true. I'm glad she's dead. I hated her. And I hate Robert. I wish he was dead, too.
Holy smoke, Pam. Can't we get out of here?
Shh.
We've had old Mrs. Lansing's favorite cocktail. We've had her favorite dinner. Now we've spent 2 hours listening to her favorite records. Has Lansing jumped his trolley completely?
Oh, that's just beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, very, but I think we'd better be going, don't you, Pam?
We really should.
Oh, no, please. Not yet. There's one more reckon
Robert,
I want you to...
Robert, it is getting late.
This won't take but a minute. Listen, please.
Sweet and low, sweet and low, wind of the western sea. Blow, blow, breathe and blow, wind of the western sea.
Well, how about that, eh? Mother made it for me years ago on one of those public recording machines. You know, the kind you drop a quarter
Robert,
in.
Stop it.
Why, Ella, dear, what's the matter?
Stop it, please, Robert.
But, Ella...
Stop it!
Ella, what is it? What's the matter?
Make him stop it, Jed, please! Make him stop it.
Oh, brother, what an evening.
It was hideous.
What's the matter with Lansing, anyway? Something is certainly eating him.
And Ella, it's as if that whole house was sick. As if everything you touched was diseased.
Hey, now, hold it. Let's not get morbid.
Oh, I'm sorry, but, well, that's the way it affected me.
Well, let's go to bed and forget it, huh? Tomorrow the sun will be shining.
It will not. The weatherman said rain.
The weatherman is going to be wrong, as usual.
How do you know?
My left ear isn't twitching.
Oh, Jerry.
Now, that's a sure sign of clear weather. My left ear is like a divining rod. It can detect water... I'll get it. Hello.
Hello, Jerry.
Well, Bill.
Bill Wigan?
Yeah. Well, what do you know, Bill?
I know you were at 124 Linden Street tonight.
124 Linden... Well, that's the Lansing house.
And that's where I am. And you'll have to get back up here on the double.
Bill, what's the matter?
Robert Lansing has been murdered.
All right, Mrs. Lansing, go on.
Well, after Jeb and Pam and Jerry had left, Robert and I had an argument.
What about? You better tell him, Ella. Well, Mrs. Lansing?
Robert... believed that his mother's death wasn't an accident. He thought I killed her.
So that was it.
Was what, Pam?
Why Robert was behaving the way he was this evening.
And how was that?
Well, he hardly said a dozen words all evening that didn't concern his mother.
It was his way of torturing me.
Why did your husband think you'd killed his mother?
She hated me.
And you hated her?
Yes.
But you didn't kill her?
No.
Or your husband?
No.
This argument, Mrs. Lansing, what was it about specifically?
Robert... accused me of being in love with Jeb. I admitted it and begged him to give me a divorce. He refused and we argued.
And then?
I ran out of the house. I just had to get away. I went to the drugstore on the corner and telephoned Jeb.
And he met you at the drugstore?
Yes, I met her there.
And you both returned here to the house to have it out with Lansing and found him dead?
Yes.
How long was it from the time Mrs. Lansing telephoned you at your hotel until you met her at the drugstore, Colonel Moffat?
Why? What difference does that make? What are you getting at?
I want to know if you had time enough to come here, kill Lansing, and then meet Mrs. Lansing at the drugstore.
I didn't kill him. I might have if I'd had the chance after I found out what he was doing to Ella.
But you didn't have a chance?
No.
Mrs. Lansing, do you know of anyone besides yourself and Colonel Moffat who had a motive to kill your husband?
No.
Well, that's not true, Ella. You told me that Sylvia...
Jeb.
Ella told me that Sylvia wished her brother were dead.
But Sylvia's at school in Vermont.
Are you sure, Ella?
Well, of course. She went back day before yesterday.
And then I'm afraid you're going to have to come with me, Mrs. Lansing. You're under arrest.
Arrest?
On what charge, Lieutenant?
Suspicion of murder.
She didn't kill Lansing.
I think she did.
Well, you're wrong.
What? Who's that?
Sylvia.
Who are you?
Sylvia, what are you doing here?
I've been here for a couple of hours, up in the attic, hiding. How do you know Ella didn't kill your brother? Because I'm the one who killed him. And from Grand Central, I took the subway out here. I don't have a key. I've never had one. This was supposed to be my home, but Robert and Mother would never let me have a key.
Mm-hmm. Then how'd you get into the house without your brother hearing you?
I broke a cellar window. One of the large ones in the back.
Go on.
Well, I tiptoed up the back stairs to Robert's room. I knew he had a gun. and I knew where he kept it. I got it, and then I came downstairs to the living room and shot him.
What'd you do with the gun?
I hid it. It's in the attic.
Where?
Behind some boxes on the shelf by the stairs.
Go get it, Donahue. We'll be going down to headquarters in a few minutes, Mrs. Lansing, so will you get Sylvia a coat?
Yes. I'll go with you, Ella. I'll get Sylvia a coat from
Ella?
You. Yes, ma'am?
I want to talk to you a moment.
What about?
Sylvia, let's go outside, huh?
Outside? Why?
I'll show you.
But, Pam, why can't...
Come on.
Why do you want to go out there?
I want to see the cellar window.
Cellar window?
The one Sylvia broke to get into the house.
Why?
Here. Oh, no, this isn't the one. This one hasn't been broken. But it is one just like this, Ella?
Well, yes, but I don't...
Good. Now, is there a rock around here? Yes, here, this'll do.
Pam, what in the world are you doing?
Proving to myself that Sylvia didn't kill Robert.
What?
She didn't, did she, Ella?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean. You killed Robert.
I? No.
Don't lie about it, Ella.
I'm not lying.
You are. I watched you every minute Sylvia was telling her story. You knew it wasn't true, and when Sylvia told how she got into this house by breaking a cellar window like this... I knew it wasn't true, too. You would have heard her.
She must have broken the window after I left the house.
Then Robert would have heard her, if he'd been alive. I think Sylvia entered this house after Robert was dead.
Why would she confess to a murder she hadn't committed?
To protect you.
No.
You were the only one in this house who ever showed her any attention and love. And a child like Sylvia would do anything, say anything to repay you. But you can't let her do it, Ella.
She killed Robert. She admits it. You can't prove differently.
I know I can't. If Sylvia wants to take the blame, there's probably no way of stopping her. Not unless you tell the truth.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Ella, listen. You think you're free of Robert, free of the way he was torturing you about his mother. Maybe you are. If you think you can marry Jeb and be happy, you're wrong. You'll torture yourself far worse than Robert ever tortured you. Tell the truth, Ella, please.
No. No.
Ella, come back here. Jerry, Bill.
Ma'am, what is it? What's going on?
Hurry. It's Ella. She killed Robert.
How do you know?
Never mind now. Quick, where did she get to?
There, crossing the street.
Bill. Oh, Jerry, that truck. Ella, no.
Okay, Bill. Thanks for calling.
What did Bill say, Jerry?
Well, he was calling from the hospital. Ella's going to be all right. And she's given Bill a statement. You were right. She killed Bob Lansing.
Oh, poor Ella.
Oh, come on, darling. Cheer up. Oh, just look outside. Not a cloud in the sky. Just as I predicted. I tell you what never fails. My left ear twitches. It rains. Doesn't twitch. Doesn't rain.
It's uncanny.
Well, it is a talent not very many people have.
Jerry.
Hmm?
Darling, don't go to work today.
Oh, Pam.
Please, Jerry. Let's go for a drive in the country. Up the Hudson, maybe. Oh, the leaves are turning. It'll be beautiful.
But, darling, I can't.
You promised we could take a day off soon. I'll pack us a picnic lunch.
Pam, dear, I have to go to work.
Sorry, darling. Not today. I made up my mind. There's no way out for you. Now, I'll fix a wonderful lunch while you... Jerry.
Hmm? What?
Your left ear. It's twitching.
Listen.
It sounded like thunder.
Holy smoke, it is thunder.
Jerry North, you did that deliberately.
Pam and Jerry are sure to have more exciting adventures next week. Listen in, won't you? There's always mystery well sprinkled with humor on Mr. and Mrs. North. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
That's Case Closed for this week. I hope you enjoyed the shows today. You can find more from Dragnet and Mr. and Mrs. North at the website, relicradio.com, alongside past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and our donate button. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, you can do so there as well. Thank you, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.